Good to be here. And I've done some interesting lessons before, and this one may be near the top of the list as interesting. When I moved here to New York, the last thing I thought I would see is a bunch of geese. I'm thinking New York is going to be buildings, the cement city, and I get here and there's geese everywhere. I play on the football team with some of the brothers here in the Bronx, and we're out there playing in front of Lehman, and we have to watch because every third step, you're stepping in some leftovers from geese. And it's just like they are everywhere. And so I said to myself, what are some lessons we can learn from geese as a church? So the title of my lesson today is Lessons Learned from Geese. You say, now how in the world is this going to become a spiritual lesson? Oh, but it is. Have you ever noticed that geese seem to do something that the church should want to do? Geese flocks get larger and larger all the time. Some of it is through reproduction, some of it is through they just invite other geese to be a part of it. They don't have iPhones, they don't have internet, but their flocks get larger and larger all the time. There's a book by John Maxwell called Developing Leaders Around You. And in his book, Maxwell talks about the story of Are You a Goose? Because scientists have learned a lot of different things from studying geese, wherever you're from. And so I want to talk about a few lessons that we as a church can learn from geese, because geese are everywhere. So the first lesson I believe we can learn from geese, some of y'all still wondering how I'm going to do this, but just work with me. Geese can teach us how to fellowship. Geese can teach us how to fellowship. Now, what is fellowship? We've heard that. We've talked about it so many times. It means to have in common, to share, or to participate for a common cause. Fellowship. It's not just being together, but you're participating in a common cause for something. So as Christians, look over in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It calls us here, it says, the fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, the Bible says that Christians, we need to be devoted to fellowship. That means not just Sunday morning. I'm going to repeat that because I know you heard me, Mr. Lee. It's not just Sunday morning. We need to have fellowship outside of Sunday morning. Whether that's on the phone, seeing each other face to face, getting together to pray together, getting together to read together, getting together just to go to the store together, let's eat together, Labor Day is coming up. Whatever it may be, fellowship is outside of just Sunday, if you're devoted to it. Geese are devoted to being together. He said, why did geese get together and head south for winter? God made them that way. There is something that God put inside of them that helps them to see, I need to be with other geese as I travel. That's what God designed them to do. He designed them to fellowship. Well, why? Geese get together because they know if I get together with somebody, that's going to make my journey easier. We as Christians, your journey will be easier with the fellowship that you have with you. If your fellowship is righteous and like-minded, common goal, your journey is going to be easier. If your fellowship is connected with somebody that has a different mindset, different goals, different objectives, your journey is not going to be quite as fun. It's not going to be quite as easy. See, when you see geese heading south for the winter, they always fly in that V formation. You got a little Midwest country boy here, so I'm breaking down some animals to you here. The reason they fly in that V formation, research has revealed that as the birds flap its wings, it creates an uplift for the immediate bird behind them. So basically, when they fly in that V formation, they can travel 71% further than they would if they were alone. Fellowship is needed for them on their long journey if they want to make it successful. People who share a common direction, a common family, get where they're going more quickly and easier because now they can rely upon other people's thrust, joy, faith, love, hope, gentleness, kindness, patience. You can do that if you're in unity in what's going on. Part of fellowship with one another is making sure that we are going in the same direction. That we have the same common goal. Now, I'm not talking about love God. Everybody can love God. Anybody can love God. But are you doing what it takes to live in obedience and love for God? See, whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to do it all alone. You as a Christian, when you fall out of fellowship, you yourself feel the drag downwards of trying to do it all alone. You got to understand. You got to ask yourself, am I smarter than a goose? If so, you will be devoted to the fellowship a lot much more if we're smarter than just a simple goose. You know, if it gets out of formation, it quickly gets back in because it knows I'm not going to make it. Unless I'm in my V formation, unless I feel the uplift from the people in front of me, I'm not going to make it. We ourselves got to realize, unless I am connected to the body, unless I am connected, I am not going to make it. When we embark on our journey to heaven, the journey is a lot easier when we have a companion with us. You know, when I share with different couples about to get married, I say that is a great opportunity when you're married. Because good times are twice as good because you got somebody to share it with. And bad times are half as bad because you got somebody to share it with. It is so important that we understand we need the fellowship. We cannot be out on our own and think we're going to make it. Because that is exactly what Satan, the roaring lion, is waiting for somebody to do. You know, when they go, you're going to feel like I've been in National Geographic when this service is over. When the lion goes to attack the zebra, all they see is this one big blob because it's all black and white together. They can't handle that big blob of zebra. So all they do is charge in and scatter them. And that one zebra that felt like they can do it on their own, that's now the target. That's all Satan wants to do. He wants to rush in and get people out of the fellowship, thinking they can handle it on their own, so then he can go after them and devour them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Arriba! I got Rosetta Stone. I'm only on page 1 now. I'm working my way up. So, but I'm with you there. I'm with you. Rojas. Red. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See, this is important. These geese stay together and head south for their survival. We too must work together as a body for our survival. When there's a brother and sister, or a sister and sister, or a brother and brother having conflict in the church, my first question isn't what happened. My first question is, how are you and God doing? Because the issue isn't what they did. The issue is, what are you with God first? let's have that discussion, and then we can see what the real issue is. Because if we are on the same journey together, we can work through whatever it is. But if your focus isn't God, like my focus is God, then you know what? We are going to have issues. Because we need to do what we can for God's glory and not for how it feels for me. As a church, each of us, we need to think of ways we can grow together in Christ. And we got to simply ask ourselves, do I have as much sense as a goose? You know, that altar service was some good fellowship. It was some good food. It was some good fun. Fellowship, food, and fun. You can't beat that. That was a great opportunity to bring people to. But you know what? Again, when we have our fall festival here next month, that's a great opportunity to bring family and friends to. We're going to play some games. It'll be a safe environment. We're going to be able to eat. We're going to have fellowship. We got to look at that and see that is an opportunity for me, not just in reaching out to people, but for me to have great fellowship. When we get together October 1st at the Expo Center, you got to be thinking, there's no way in the world I'm missing that fellowship. I'm going to see thousands of people with the same goal, the same focus. I'm going to be at that service. I don't know what I got to do. If I got to spend the night with somebody in New Jersey, hey, bro, can you hook me up tonight? I'm getting to that fellowship on October 1st. You got to see that is something that we have got to long for. The Bible says be devoted to. We've got to start thinking and focusing on our fellowship with one another. And you say, well, if a goose can do it, I can surely do it. Amen? The second thing we can learn from geese is they illustrate the concept of sharing the workload. Geese share the workload. Galatians chapter 6. I don't know if you're just feeling a little weird because you're not sitting in your assigned spiritual seat. But I want to encourage you to teach your kids how to worship as they sit with you. Amen. So if they hear you, amen, I'm with you, I'm doing something, now they learn. That's how I need to be. Amen. This is all a family. See, the geese are all together.
Yes.
We need to understand. Right now, you got your little flock with you. Help the little chickadees understand what needs to happen. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. For watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. You know, we in the church, we need to carry each other's burdens. True. We need to help each other. We need to be there for each other. Support each other. Absolutely. But we also need to carry our own load in what we do. This is another characteristic of geese. See, as geese are flying in their V formation, they don't worry about how they look to the goose behind them. They're not concerned with, is that goose working harder than I am? I'm working harder than him. Look at him. He ain't even doing what he needs to do. He's flapping with just one wing like he's got swag. You got to make sure you flap like this. You got to flap him. They aren't critiquing each other, criticizing each other. They're helping each other on this journey together. You know, many times as a general rule, they always say that 20% of the group does 80% of the work. That's not a good thing, but it happens quite a bit. The more people are involved in doing the job, the more gets done. It can't just be 20% of us are devoted to fellowship. It can't be 20% of us are going to increase our contribution. It can't be 20% of us are going to be October 1st at the convention center. 20% of us is going to participate in the fall festival. It needs to be all of us working together as a body. You know, when the geese are flying in a V formation and the first goose, that lead goose, gets tired, he falls down and another one immediately takes his place and they stay on course. If you watch geese as they're flying, They don't just go and then the first one gets tired and then they just whoop down, bam, and they crash. No. He gets tired, he falls back, and another one immediately takes his place, and he falls in line, and then he gets the uplift from the next goose. They fly in unison, and they all carry the workload. See, that first one doesn't get tired and drift off and say, okay, who's going to take the lead? What's going on, fellas? What y'all doing? No. It's an immediate response because they know the journey is long and we need to all participate in it. You know, we have a Kids Kingdom program and we have teachers that serve in Kids Kingdom. And that's an important part of our congregation. That's not just something that we just kind of throw aside, go babysit, go play around with the kids. We are training and helping these kids to know about God, to love God at an early age. But you know what it takes? It takes, when they come out, somebody else stepping up in that rotation. And honestly, as many people as we have in our congregation, you just probably need to serve one time a year or every other year at the most, if everybody does their part. But if not everybody, only 20% does the part, then that 20% stays in that rotation. And you know what? After a while, they get burned out. They get tired. What needs to happen is when they step out, somebody else needs to get right on in that V formation and keep us flying on the right track. You know, we've got to understand this. That's what this is about. Look over in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. It reminds us about the body. It says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. See, we've got to understand, it's a whole lot. This congregation is called And the Like. Because there's just so many different kind of people within this congregation. And that's a good thing. That's the way the world is. There's a lot of different kind of people in the world. So that's a good thing. But here's the thing. If only 20% of this congregation does the work, we're not going to do what we need to do for the Lord. It's not going to work. Let's say if only 20% gave increase in their contribution. Let me have the campus and the singers that are over here stand up for a minute. Okay, a little bit faster than that. Okay, how about everybody from John down? Stay up. Everybody that's over here in this little section, stand up for a minute. Come on, Mr. Ernie. You got to participate. Full participation. That's 20% doing the work for this whole congregation. You got to look at what I'm talking about. So you said all those people are going to be the only ones serving the kids' kingdom. All those people are going to be the only one taking care of our kids. All those people are going to be the only one increasing their contribution so we can do more. Just that right there. So what does that mean for everybody else? We just enjoying the ride. That's not going to get us where God wants us to be. Amen. You got to visualize what we're talking about. 20% cannot do the work of the other 8. We all need to participate, and the load is so much easier. The journey is so much more fun when we do that. That is important for us to understand. Now, the third thing we need to learn about geese. Geese illustrate the concept of encouragement. Look in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Towards the back of the Bible, after all the T's, then Philemon, then Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. It says here, for the word of God is living and active. And that's not 3. That's 4. 3 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Why should I be an encouragement to people? Not just for them, but for my own heart's sake. That I don't get hardened by what's going on. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. A little bit before Hebrews, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. I'm not saying we're not encouraged. This is a very encouraging congregation. But you know what? We need to take our encouragement higher. So what's the characteristic of the geese? Have you ever heard geese, when they fly over, how they're honking? I mean, it's just like, that's like a sick goose. But other geese sound a little bit better than that. They make a whole lot of noise. Research tells us that geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. That honking is an encouragement for those that are in front of them. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You can do it. Now, I know we're not used to that, because here, when you hear a honk, it's like the light green. Honk, honk, keep going, honk, honk. It's an attitude when people honk here. But the geese are encouraging. But man has an attitude. Let me ask you this. Are we smarter than a goose? God said he uses the foolishness to shame the wise. We think we so much, but these are just animals. They dumb animals. You know what? Some of them got it on a lot more than us human beings have it on. You hear these goose? When they fly by honking, you need to understand that's just for encouragement for the other goose. It may irritate people, but it encourages the goose. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was such an encourager, they said, that's just got to be your name now. You're just going to be known as the son of encouragement because you are such an encourager. You know what? That's exactly how our mindset needs to be. Yeah. Elaine, the encourager. Sheila, the server. Felix, the smiler. I'm going to stop for a moment. But we need to think, okay, I need to be known for something. Why can't I just be known for encouragement? Part of the reason, because we are too selfish and lazy to be known as encouragement. Now, speaking for myself for a minute. I'm in a household with three women. I'm used to growing up, and this is what many of us do. We use our past for a reason why we don't move forward. I need to learn to be more encouraging. These women need verbal encouragement. My encouragement is mentally, like the Jedi mind trick. You know I encourage you. I love you. That's kind of good enough. I was growing up playing football so long, I was used to getting cussed out by coaches. I did one thing on national TV that was so dumb, and I ain't gonna tell you what it is. Don't worry about it. Don't be Googling what I did either. The coach came out on the field, cussed me out all the way to the bench, sat down, and was still cussing. And then I got in trouble because I took my helmet off and I started laughing. I was laughing because he used every cuss word. I promise you, he made up cuss words. Because he was just, it was flowing out loud. I'm like, what did that even mean? And that wasn't smart to do in a situation like that. So I think, you know what, that's just not me. I don't have to be so verbal encouraging. But when you live with three ladies, you got to learn to be verbally encouraging. So that's something that I had to change about me. I'm still trying to change it. I'm still trying to grow in it. I verbally say something. I'm texting different things. I'm trying to be an encourager because that's where I live. I cannot use my past for a reason for not growing more like Christ. We can't do that. And so you gotta understand, you gotta ask yourself, am I a very encouraging person? And then after you get done lying to yourself, ask the person next to you, honey, do you think I'm very encouraging? Let's talk when we get home, baby. Ask your kids sitting next to you. Do I encourage you? We've got to be more encouraging. Geese encourage each other with honking, honking, honking. We've got to learn to encourage as well. Amen?
Amen.
And then fourthly and finally, geese illustrate the concept of sharing burdens with one another. Geese share burdens with one another. You know, as the geese are flying in their formation, and one of them gets sick or shot, it flies down. And immediately, two other geese fly with that goose as it goes down. And as the goose goes down, if it's sick, they stay with them until it gets better or it dies. Or they themselves end up getting shot. That's why when you see hunters and they shoot one, they usually have more than one. Because once you shoot one out the sky and it falls, two automatically go with it to bear its burdens. And then they shoot the other two as well. We've got to understand, this is a part of the goose's nature that God has given them. I'm going to bear my brother's burden, my sister's burden. I'm going to be with them. See, our problem is, somebody starts struggling, we shoot them. I need to bear my brother and my sister's burden with him. Now, that doesn't mean that we just get all sympathetic. Oh, I know. Don't worry about it. The church needs to change that to help you. What? You need to understand, okay, no. I'm bearing your burden, but I'm also going to call you out of sin. Because your burden is sin. The burden isn't your situation. But we need to be there for each other. If somebody's hurting, they need to know. You know, I appreciate John giving a thank you note. They had a baby. This man don't know what in the world he's doing. People are bringing food. They're encouraging him, helping him. That's the way it needs to be. Guys, we got to learn. We need to bear each other's burdens. You know what? How are you getting to the Expo Center October 1st? I don't know. Is there, you want to ride with us? I'll work out a way you can ride with us. I'll help you out, do whatever. I mean, we got to think, how can we help each other on this journey that we're taking together? It is so important for us to understand that. Look over at Romans chapter 15.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The scriptures are here. The Bible is here to encourage us. Not to shame us, not to belittle us, not to make us feel guilty. It's here to encourage us, spur us on to do God's will, to do good. Here's a quote I want us to think about. We need to learn to stop focusing on what's wrong with you and focus on what's right with God.
Amen.
Too many times, that's what we do. We focus on all our problems. And I can't find a job. And I haven't found a spouse yet. And my foot hurt. And then my back hurt. And then my house ain't been cleaned. I ain't washed. Seriously? We can focus on all our problems. We can focus on how good God is.
Amen.
We still alive? We're able to walk around. We're able to get to where we need to go. There's a whole lot of good going on. In conclusion of what I'm going to talk about, I hope we as a church will learn to fly together in formation. It's not a church rule. This is what God is trying to teach us. Even through the principles of nature and animals, we need to learn to be devoted to fellowship and fly together. Why? Because it's going to make your journey easier.
Yeah.
We need to understand that we need to share the workload. You know, if one person goes down, somebody needs to step up. If one person happens to move, we can't just abandon that ministry. Somebody's got to step up. And we can't just stay in the same place forever. We've got to grow. We need to learn that honking is encouraging. We need to learn how to encourage each other. That's a huge thing, learning to encourage each other. And on top of that, we need to learn to bear each other's burdens. We don't need to shoot other Christians. The world is throwing enough. Satan is throwing enough flaming arrows at us. We don't need to throw marbles or arrows at each other. We need to encourage and bear each other's burdens. Guys, next time you see a goose, whether it's flying or sitting by the pond or whatever, you need to think about this time of day. When you see a bunch of them together, you need to think about fellowship. When you see them flying, you need to think about, you know what? If one of them goes down, there's some people right there with it, helping them out. We need to learn a lot from nature. God gave it to us for a reason, and to God be the glory. Amen.